Amen. You may be seated. Well, this month is our missions month, and our emphasis here at Slate Belt Church is missions, evangelism outside of our Jerusalem. And we're so thankful to have missionaries come and speak this month, missionaries that we support, some that we don't support yet. And today we have a treat. I have a friend, a longtime friend named Brent Smith. He is on the board of International Partnership Missions, and he is here. He came to the pasta dinner yesterday, and you guys made him feel welcome. Thank you for that. But he is going to come at this time, introduce himself a little bit, and I believe he has a slideshow that he's going to share.
Whoa, that's a way to start off. I had thought I had it clipped on there, so we'll see. Had it on my belt. All right, this is the first time I've used one like this, so. But good morning. Good to see you. Thank you so much for making me feel at home. I truly enjoyed the pasta dinner last night. Teenagers, thank you so much for that. I love to see teens in action. And I was once a teen, no longer a teen, but it is truly a blessing to watch the teenagers minister and serve. And isn't that what ministry is all about? We're here to serve. The Bible says I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. And truly, Psalm 119, verse 125, which is my life's verse, is truly a blessing, which simply says, I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. And truly, that's what we are, is a servant of the Lord. And what a blessing it is to serve God, serve one another, minister together, and serve missionaries all around the world. And as Pastor said, I am with International Partnership Ministries. We're based out of Hanover, PA. It's about 2.5 hours from here, and we have been ministering with National Missionary Church Planters in Asia, Africa, and Latin America for 37 years. And before I start, I do have a PowerPoint that I want to show to you talking about our ministry, because I'm not sure, Pastor mentioned that nobody really knows much about IPM, so this is our first time here. And as Pastor said, I've known him for many years, know his father. I grew up in the church that his father's pastoring, and was called to preach at the age of 15 in that church, and went to Bible college, and then went and taught in a Christian school in Pennsylvania for 7.5 years after I graduated. And then in 1992, God called us to plant a church in West Virginia. We planted that church. We were there for 15 years. And then in 2008, God called us into full-time missions. I was comfortable pastoring, small rural area, small church, working bivocationally, and maybe that was part of the problem. I was comfortable. I don't know. So God pulled us out of our comfort zone and put us in full-time missions working with IPM. I did pastor another church because I worked remotely from West Virginia, and I did pastor another church there for 4 years while they were in between pastors. And that was a blessing as well. And then in 2015, we relocated to IPM because of my position change, and our president wanted all of his executive staff to be close to IPM. The interesting thing is Pastor, when he asked me to move to IPM, to Hanover, all of our other executive staff started moving away and working remotely. And it was like, even though I'm from West Virginia, I really didn't think I had done anything. But it's been a blessing, and God has done great and mighty things. And, you know, the Bible tells us in Thessalonians, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You know, what God starts, he finishes. Who God calls, he enables. There are many believers that I come into contact with in our travels that say, well, you know, I can't do anything. You know, it's better if somebody else does it. Not if God calls you to do it. He called you to do it for a reason. If he's called you to do it, then he will enable you to do what he has called you to do. So, we've been serving national missionaries all over the world since 2008. And have people ask me if I miss pastoring. I said, yeah, there's certain things I miss, but Really, in all reality, we've never looked back. God has given us peace, and God has given us grace as we travel here in the States as well as overseas. So we have been blessed to be able to do that. We've been married 31 years, and pray for my wife, if you would. I've talked to some of you. My wife suffers with chronic migraines and chronic headaches, and she has for over 20 years. She's been to many doctors, even to Johns Hopkins. They really are having, they know the two health issues that are in play, but she has a headache all the time besides me. And I told her one day, I said, well, you're not getting rid of this headache. And she ministers alongside me, even in all that she suffers. The Lord has allowed us to travel together. There are times when she's not able to come, such as today. And I appreciate, and I know she would appreciate your prayer. If she were here and you were talking to her and you were talking about the headaches or whatever, she has always mentioned to me that if this is God's lot for her in life, she's satisfied with it. She does have a sweet spirit. To look at her, you would not even know, even if she had a migraine. That's just the way she is. She'll push through and then have to crash for a couple of days after. She pushes through and for several days. So, her name is Mandy, but appreciate your prayers for her, as well. Before I start, let me just, we have a table out in the lobby, and there's some information out there for you. I brought a couple of pieces in, for IPM, a general brochure about our mission board, and then there's, prayer cards out there, for you to take and pray for us. And then there's a couple of pieces of new literature out there. It's called our Volunteer Interactive Partners program. And so there's two pieces. There's a postcard out there size, and then there's also a brochure on our volunteer program. And I'll hit that a little bit at the end of the presentation this morning. And so that tells you, we'll get into that in just a little bit. You know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, and if you want to turn there, just for a minute, that's going to be our base verse as we go throughout this presentation this morning. In Ephesians chapter 3, the Bible says, there we go. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, isn't that our God? How many of us here this morning could honestly say, God has blessed me in ways beyond my belief? I'm sure that we all can. I'm sure that all there's some things in our lives that have transpired that we didn't maybe really was knowing what was coming down the pike, yet God was with us. But he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that works in him. That's IPM. That's our verse at IPM. Our we love to have as one of the major things in our office is prayer. We have prayer time every day. We have a devotional time on Wednesdays, and but it's so important that we pray for one another, pray for our missionaries, and different requests that come in from people all around the world, folks that we know here in the States as well as our missionaries. And so as we look at IPM this morning and think about it, we're a unique mission board that works with National Church Planters, as we said. This is our home office. And if some of the things don't work right, we had to export out of Apple into PowerPoint. So that's beyond our control. I tell folks the key word in ministry is flexibility. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, you just go on anyway. And over 37 years assisting National Church Planters in Asia, Africa, and Latin America. That's our new office building that we moved into in 2015. I don't have a picture on this slide, but our previous building that we were in, as a matter of fact, IPM started as ATOM, American Technical Outreach Ministries. We started out as a helps ministry, getting generators, building equipment, different things. And one of our first fields was in Haiti. And the mission board was born out of Calvary Bible Church there in Hanover, PA. And it began to grow, and we got to the point where we bought a pre-war Civil War home. Then we bought the one next to it, and we joined it together by a little breezeway downstairs. They were both two-story buildings. So if you were in the second floor of one building, you had to go and had to go to the second floor of the other building. You had to go all the way down and across the building and all the way back up. One of our contributors came to us, loves IPM, loves our ministry, loves what we're doing with Nationals. He said, "You guys need a new building." That's the new building that the Lord provided through him. Over $500,000. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. We serve a big God, do we not? And I heard a preacher say one time, he said, how big your prayers are will determine how big your God is. Well, we serve a big God, and there's proof. And I'm sure there's proof here from what Pastor was telling me, you know, and what God is doing here at Slate Belt. And it's a tremendous ministry that he's allowing us and you to have. There's a picture of my wife. It's also a picture on the prayer card. And one of the things, our motto in the church mobilization department, which is what I am over, the church, and we'll talk about this in just a little bit, but our goal is to seek to mobilize churches for a maximum harvest. The Lord is returning. The Lord is returning soon, is he not? We can see that all around us. And yet we also know that even in the meantime, there is still a lot of work to be done. And I appreciate your pastor and the outreach philosophy and the missions-mindedness of the pastor in the church here. What a blessing that is for us to go into churches and see that. Because you know what? Missions is dying out in local churches all across America. Are we not praying for revival in our churches? Sure we are. But I honestly believe that revival is not going to come to the local church until missions is revived within the local church, because I believe that missions is the heartbeat of God. Think with me for just a minute. Who was the greatest missionary that ever came to this earth? Jesus. What was the greatest mission field? Planet Earth. Us. Was that not his heartbeat? If he were to come, if he came and so loved that he was willing to die and give it all for you and me, that we might be reconciled unto God and have a home in heaven, how can it not beat his heartbeat? So that's our mission, especially in these last days before the Lord comes, is to mobilize churches for the maximum harvest possible in our country. And as your missionary, people will ask us, how do you accomplish this? We endeavor to motivate churches for God and his world. And that's exactly what I was just talking about, and going in and working with churches and trying to get them excited again about missions. It's such a breath of fresh air to be able to come into churches who do have a missions focus and a missions emphasis, who have a missions month or a missions week or whatever it might be, to come in and see God working. We partner with national missionaries. We also are planting indigenous churches, as well as producing a harvest around the world. Let me show you just a couple of pictures as to how IPM started. We started in Haiti, and we'll go from there in some of the ministries that we have. We started in 1982 in Haiti. The ministries of Brother Lucien and Maud Saul are still charter missionaries that are still with IPM. They are getting ready to turn their ministry over to their son and his wife, second generation. Brother Lucien is having some severe health issues. He's got glaucoma very badly, but has been doing a great work with the Salem Bible Institute, where pastors from all over Haiti come in and they're trained in the work of the Lord doctrinally right down the line. The interesting thing is as Salem began to come into being, pastors are still coming in, and a lot of the ministries are already started. They're already planted. They're already being worked. But these pastors are coming in, and they're being taught the Word of God. And as they are taught the Word of God, they'll come up to Brother Lucien, and they'll say to him, "We didn't realize we were teaching heresy until we came to Salem." Wow. And so they're being taught the Word, and they're being sent back out into their villages and to their churches. And what are they doing? Reteaching and doctrinally and working among their people. So Haiti is where we started. And we partner with 51 national church planters in 25 countries. 51 church planters that are actually what we would call IPM missionaries. And those missionaries go out and they plant churches out of the mother churches and continue to plant and duplicate. And those churches do the same. I could not give you a number of how many churches total that we have that, because the ones that go out under these men, under these 51 men, are not technically IPM missionaries. These 51 men are. But I couldn't give you a total number around the world in those 25 countries. But truly, our men walk in places where most Americans do not have the privilege to go. If we do go, if we're able to go as a tourist, we cannot go in as a missionary. And so truly, our men are there doing the work. And as things come into play, as diseases such as what's going on now in those countries, years ago in Liberia, the Civil War came and the American missionaries pulled up roots and left Liberia. The problem was, as our national, one of our nationals in Liberia told me, he said, the problem was they didn't have anybody trained to take the work. They left, the work died. That's why we believe it is so vital to train these men to take over these works and to even plant their own works. And they are doing that. That man came to me and he said, Brother Brandon, he said, we've been on the receiving end for too long. We now must be on the sending end. Oh, that overjoyed my heart. How true that is. And they are doing a tremendous work. Our mission statement, of course, is to glorify God through the reaching of men and women with the gospel, the training of Christian leaders, and the planting of fundamental churches through partnerships with national missionaries and indigenous national ministries. God has been doing that, again, for over 37 years. And we praise the Lord for what he's allowing us, even as his servants, to just have a little bit of a part in his harvest field. Here's some of the places where we are, church planting in the Caribbean. This is down in the Dominican Republic. Brother Enrique Mejia, he is working with the children there. Then in Latin America, the top left is Peru. We have Daniel and Sonia Araujo. As a matter of fact, one of our IPM staff young ladies is getting married this coming Saturday to their son. Daniel, he's not a junior. They call him junior, but he's not junior. His actual name is Igor. But they are getting married. My wife and I took her with us to a conference in Guatemala, and they were there. And both these young people, they're both about 30 right now, and both of them had been praying for many years that God would send the right mate. Well, lo and behold, we get them to the conference and they meet each other, and you could begin to see the sparks start to fly a little bit, and they became interested. They came to the States. His father and Junior came to the States on deputation, and Sarah was of course there, had a little more time with Junior. And God has done a tremendous work and is using them tremendously, even Peru now. And they're supposed to be married in Peru this coming Saturday. Pray for them, if you would. Their name's Junior and Sarah. Her name right now is Sarah Jones. It will be Araujo, Lord willing, on Saturday. But here's why I ask you to pray for her. With all of this that's going around and the flights that are being canceled, things of that nature. Some of the folks have already backed out and not going to the wedding. And I'm talking IPM staff. We were planning on going, my wife and I, but I already had tickets to go. And then because of her health issues, not because of the virus, but a while back because of the health issues and the new doctors that she had to see are right during the time we would be gone this coming week. So we had to cancel. But some other folks have canceled. Sarah's mother, her name is Judy, had to cancel. She's had two heart valve replacements. She's very high risk, and so she's not able to go to her daughter's wedding. So just pray for them, if you would, and that God will just use it still as a special time. We're even encouraging them to do the civil union there, and then when they come to the States, or Lord willing, supposed to come in April on their deputation, then we can do a ceremony here or a reception or a party or whatever for them. So do pray for them if you would. On the top right-hand side, you see the Fragas in Argentina. Down in the bottom left is Guatemala. Brother Giovanni Avendano, I actually took that picture when I was there ministering with Brother Giovanni. And then on the right-hand side is the Corrales family. There is actually a brochure for them who are in Colombia. What's the first thing, couple of things you think of when you hear the country of Colombia? One's coffee. Drugs, yeah. He's doing a tremendous work there, so pray for them if you would. He's actually supposed to come this this fall, I believe. We'll see how that goes. The church planting in Africa, this is in Liberia. One of our men there on the right-hand side was being honored that day. Church planting in the Middle East, this is Brother Raymond Abu Makiel. In Lebanon, in Beirut, and you see the building behind them. That was a church that they built, and there's supposed to be religious freedom in Lebanon. Of course, the Catholicism is the major actor there. They came in, and they bulldozed shut all of the entrances, and today they are still not in that building. They are in court trying to get that reopened back up, so they, of course, relocated. But pray for Raymond, if you would, as well. He now has a ministry with the Syrian refugees. God is doing great things there. They have an online seminary in Arabic. Many Muslims are coming to Christ as a result of their ministries. And so continue to pray for them there in the Middle East. So church planting in the Middle East. Then church planting up in North India. This is in the Philippines, I believe, in the Far East. And then this is up in North India. This is either in Bhutan or Bangladesh. And then we are in the 1040 window, and that's really where we like to keep our focus. And you see those countries there. Our newest missionary is in Ethiopia. You'll find the last one, the bottom one on the right, doing a great work. Lord willing, we're trying to get him here. He was supposed to be here this spring. He was denied a visa. Pray for our men. I like what the president's doing, but he's making my job harder, which is, I mean, that's okay. God's in it, I'm sure. But all four of our men that were first-timers this spring were denied visas simply because what we're gathering in the form that they received was because they're not proving that they're going to be coming back to their country, that they have strong enough ties that they're going to come back to their country. So we have 100% rate of return of men going back home. We've never had anybody overstay their visas. So we did get a contact with Senator Toomey's office, and there's a liaison there that will work with us specifically with men who have been denied because of that 214B visa denial that these guys are getting. So God's doing great things, yet we need a lot of prayer as well. Leadership training. We work with 17 Bible colleges and institutes. We help them establish their Bible colleges. We're working with 22 Christian day schools. We help them do that. And in our different departments, we do have a children's ministries department where we help to develop their curriculum for them if they need it. And we'll go in and help teach modules as well in their Bible colleges and seminaries, and working with them alongside all the way down. Whatever they need, we are there to help them and work with them. Support National Missionary Church Planters. These are questions that we get, and maybe even some of you have those questions as well. What is it about National Missionary Church Planters that's so important? Well, number one, I think it's important because they're there. They know their people. They know their ministries. They know how to connect. They know the ins and outs a lot better than we do. And number one, you see, their laborers are already there, and they're ready to go. God called men that are, and they're ready to serve. And in some fields that are closed to American missionaries, you'll also see where the laborers are equipped. These men are already know the languages. They know the culture. They've proven themselves effective in reaching the people for the Lord. We don't take somebody that's green. We don't take somebody that is a fly-by-nighter. It can take up to 2 to 3 years for somebody to be approved by, on our mission board. But the facts remain that they're ready to go and they're there. They do need financial support and they need our prayers. And you'll find there, I have to turn around and look because when that thing converted it down, it made it smaller. And my glasses aren't that good. But that's a smaller screen. But they do need our support. They need our prayers. They need tangible financial assistance, just like you and I do, just as they start their churches. And I always tell people they need strategic prayer. They need strategic prayer. And I say that because a lot of times I think we're all, and I'm the same, we're guilty of, Lord, bless the missionaries. You ever prayed that just like that? Sure we have. But as you read their prayer letters, as you get to know them, as you understand them and their needs and their ministries and their project and what's going on, need to pray for them strategically. When we do our prayer request, unless it's an unspoken request, and that's understandable, what do? When we give a prayer request? We describe the request. So that why? So that other folks will know how to pray. Same with our men. Their laborers, they need partnership. That includes mutual encouragement. We all love to be encouraged. We all need to be encouraged. Communication, trust, love, and yes, accountability before God and before others. And so I believe it's so vital to work with these men. So some may say, well, we have a question. And so I've taken some of the questions and put up here that people will ask. So maybe it'll answer some of your questions. And if you have others, feel free to see me at the table out in the lobby afterwards. But what about our American missionaries, our own American missionaries, who seek to serve God cross-culturally? And that's what we're talking about, serving God cross-culturally among Africans, Latins, and so forth. Well, our local churches, I believe, should continue to pray that God will send forth laborers from our local churches in the States. Why? Because that verse is still in the Bible. Matthew 9:38 is still there. And I think it is so vital that we continue to pray, because God is using American missionaries on the foreign fields just as he is using nationals. As a matter of fact, let me give you an example. In Kolkata, India, we have nationals that are there. Biak Vaipay, who actually is planting deaf churches. Not a deaf ministry in a church. He's planting deaf churches. We have an American missionary that's also there working with Biak and his wife. And they're ministering together. So you have American missionaries working cross-culturally with nationals. Yes, it's very, very important. And the idea of helping national church planters or American church planters, it's not an either or. Okay, it's not do this or do that. As I just related and showed you and gave you that illustration, it's rather a both and situation. Keep on as God calls. God calls, you go. It's that simple. And so number two, is it important to support church planters, national church planters? Yes, I firmly believe so. And you'll see some results here in just a moment. Are national mission boards effective in area of accountability? Yes, they are. Does IPM have an accountability process and measures in place? Yes, we do. And so here's what our accountability adds up to at this point. And you'll see there, number one, you have the application process and IPM board approval. Every national missionary fills out a written application, but he has to be approved by the board of directors. If you look at the second thing there, visit the field visits by the home office staff and members. In other words, when somebody is recommended to, all of our regional directors are national missionaries. The reason for that is because they are able to help us filter out. We get emails all the time from all over the world of men that want to join IPM. Why? We have a website, and they read our website, and they want to be a part of it. And our men can weed out the ones that won't work with us, or the ones that are just trying to get funds and those kinds of things. So we visit the fields. We go to see their ministries. And we don't go for just a couple of days sometimes. We go for a longer period of time. You know, if you're hiding something, you can only hide something for so long. All right? We have an education department that goes in and spends a lot of time on the field with our men, teaching more so than the rest of us do, because that's what they're doing. They go in and they may spend a month in a location. So we have field visits that we'll go over and we'll watch and check out the ministries. We have monthly financial reports that they have to send out. We have annual ministry reports that they're required to send out. And the way our policy is set up is if they don't send those out, then their their support funds are withheld until we get those reports. Okay, so communication is vital. It's so, so important that, they communicate, not just with us, but with their supporters here in the States. You want to know what your missionaries are up to. You want to know what's going on. You want to know where the funds are going. You want to know if a project's been finished or if it's still in play or what's going on. So all of these things working together does a good job in our communication with our men. And if you can see that, in 2019, we just got our new statistical report out. We had 72 brand new church plants among our men this past year. You have to understand that that may not be a church as we think of a church or a church building. That may be a preaching station in the bush, okay, as it started. That may be in somebody's home as they start a church, because in a lot of the places, they start with Bible studies in the home, and then they'll move from the home and try to build a structure. As long as they can get the property and the funds to do it, then they'll build a structure for a church. So we had 72 with 11,288 professions of faith last year. We pray that all those were genuine. Only God knows, and we leave that to God, don't we? But we praise the Lord for what he is doing on these fields with our men through IPM and allowing us to have a part to do that. You say, well, how do I get involved? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Oh, right. IPM introduces national church planters to churches each year here in the States. This is where my ministry comes into play more so than with the rest. Other than we do travel, and I'll tell you that. We do personal deputation for ourselves. All of us, even as executive staff, raise support. We have to raise our support. We have to raise our own funds to travel. And so whether it's here in the States or whether it's overseas, besides the monthly support that we have to raise the support to travel. God is good. You know what? Our philosophy at IPM is present the need and pray about it. That's it. You know, I told the president one day, I said, well, if this was a high-pressure mission board, I wouldn't be here. I don't like a high-pressure car salesman. If you're a car salesman, no offense, but I'm just not a high-pressure guy, you know? And there's a lot of folks like that. And I notice a lot of time when we go to conferences, folks aren't high-pressure either. You know, I see more people going by our table when I'm not there, which is fine, too. And so we do personal deputation. We distribute literature and DVDs to churches and material to pastors and individual believers. We visit pastors in local churches as well. And then also we do travel. We speak in church services, missionaries conferences, other conferences, different things as needed. And so we do travel a good bit, attending pastors fellowships and conferences, promoting IPM's ministries, giving insight and exposure by visiting Bible colleges, and meeting students who are prospective pastors. We don't recruit like a regular American mission board does, if you think with me. They're recruiting American missionaries. We're majoring with national missionaries. Now, we do have some folks that go over short term and will minister with our men and work with our men. And they will be there a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or something like that, and for a short-term basis, and they'll go over, and they'll help. One time, a student asked me, he said, why are you here? This was at a college, a Christian college, Ambassador, I believe it was. And he said, why are you here? Well, it kind of took me aback, because I told him, he said, no. He looked at, of course, he was taller than me. You know, most everybody's taller than me. And he looked at me, and he said, you look like you would be the right height, brother. But he looked at me, and he said, no, really, why are you here? And I had to stop and think, which was good. I'm here because I want you to know IPM when you get out of college. If you're a prospective pastor, pastor's wife, evangelist, evangelist's wife, whatever, ministry student, I want you to know who I am. I want you to know our mission board when you graduate, so that we already have an open door to you and are able to touch base with you and get in and be able to present IPM's ministry with nationals. That's already coming full circle. I have men that are out of college, have graduated and have talked to and are getting to know them, having gotten to know them, have that relationship. So that's why we're in the Christian colleges, and that's the way that we go in that. Also, we correspond with our national missionaries because we want to keep in tune and abreast of their ministries. We send out a quarterly prayer letter. If you would like to receive our prayer letter, I'm working on one right now that will come out either at the end of this month or the beginning of next month. It's free. Just sign up on the sign up form out there for your prayer letter and pray for us. Get to know us. Nang Lan Kap and Lam Ching from Myanmar on the bottom left there. Tremendous folks doing a great work. Lam Ching had cancer in the liver and from hepatitis C. She had major surgery. Today, as far as I know, she is still cancer-free. And she had to go to Singapore for the operation, but doing a great job. And we do travel to see firsthand the ministries overseas. Somebody's over somewhere most all the time. So we're in and out in different places, going and coming just to keep abreast. And whenever we travel, you know, our missionaries understand that we're coming to help them, but they also know that we're going to be looking at their ministry, and we're going to be watching to see, you know, what's going on while we're over there. This is about 10,000 feet. The caption's not up there. High in the Andes Mountains. This is Pastor Daniel Araujo that I told you about. His son is marrying Sarah Jones. And he's getting ready to baptize a person here in the high Andes Mountain.
Decidido seguir a Cristo, he decidido seguir a Cristo, no vuelvo atrás, no vuelvo atrás. De gloria me he transformado, el rey de gloria me he transformado. El rey de gloria me ha transformado, no vuelvo atrás, no vuelvo atrás.
Hermana Cindy, ¿estás completamente segura de haber confiado tu vida en el Señor Jesucristo? Después de haber recibido a Cristo, recibir las charlas del bautismo, dar tu testimonio público. Yo te bautizo en el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo.
Amén.
It's an old truck tire. He said, I baptize people in warm water, in cold water, and very cold water. What a blessing to see God's work. Amen. Amen. What we do in the church mobilization department, and this is kind of going into now with our VIP program, our Volunteer Interactive Partners program, we set up meetings for our men. We schedule their meetings for them when they come to the States. We work with them. I actually work with them in the department from a year before they come until they get home. And they're only here from 2 to 3 months at a time. And so we begin to work with them, making sure they have all the right documents, making sure that they have to have health insurance while they're here. We set up all their flights for them internationally as well as domestically. We produce all of their in-house, all of their materials in-house as well as their DVDs. We provide transportation for them. We provide housing in Hanover, volunteers in Hanover that have housing. We also have a guest house in Hanover where we provide housing for them. But we have many volunteers that help us with hospitality and taking care of our men. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that I don't have time to tell you about. But in scheduling these guys and working with them, we have taken and we have these aspects of scheduling, hosting, traveling, even interpreting. If anybody here knows Spanish fluently and would like to interpret, and you're a man, would like to interpret for one of our Spanish nationals, see me, because we have problems finding Spanish interpreters for our guys. Our Asian and African guys all speak English, and so that's the major problem that we have there. But what we have done is we've taken these opportunities and we've worked them into a volunteer program, and allowing those opportunities, presenting those opportunities to the local church, something that will mesh right into any missions program. And taking that and offering those opportunities to the local church or individuals to work with our men. So there are believers all over our country who love missions, who want to be involved in missions. God's not called them into foreign missions, or they just can't travel. They can't quit their job. They can't leave home. They can't go overseas. But they want to be involved in missions. This is the opportunity that you have as a child of God, as a believer, to take part and fulfill that missions calling or that missions ministry that you love right here at home. It's exciting to see, and I've had people come back and tell me what joy they've had being able to rub shoulders with our nationals when they come to the States, getting to know them. It's one thing to go to the field. It's another thing to have a missionary in your home for a week at a time or something like that, and to get to know them and their burden, know about their field, know about them personally, know their fears, know their loves, know their interests, just to be able to get to know them. What a blessing it is to be able to have them and rub shoulders with those men and those women who come to the States and are ministering for the Lord. So that's that VIP brochure and that card. And if you have more questions about that, I'm here. Just ask me afterwards, and we can talk about that. But it's a ministry that will mesh right in. Again, it will mesh right in with any church missions ministry. Let me go back on that. Notice, if you would, I'll get it one of these days. The different departments, our department, church mobilization, we have the field ministries department. Field ministries is just what it says. It deals with things that are going on the field. And they're the ones that do the approving, as well as the board of our men. We have an education department that I talked about earlier. We have a children's ministries department that goes in and trains them how to work with their children. And again, we help to develop their curriculum for them. We also have a deaf ministries department that goes in and trains our men how to reach their deaf. We've also partnered with Silent Word Ministries out of Georgia. And Silent Word works alongside with us, and we with them, in order to do that exact thing. So those are the different departments that we have. And then will you partner with us? Prayer is a big thing. I've been on the side of the desk that Pastor Steve's on. I've been there for a total of 19 years. His dad's been there for a lot longer than me. And before, when I was a pastor, you know, I would have missionaries in and I would ask them, you know, what are your needs and so on. And they would always say to me, the most important thing we need is your prayers. Pray for us, pray for us, pray for us. And I was like, yeah, right, I understand that. But what other needs do you have? You've got financial needs, you have support needs, you have project needs, you have family needs, you have whatever. Now that I've been on the opposite side of the desk for over 12 years, I can honestly say that prayer is the most important thing. As we said at the outset, faithful is he that calleth us, who also will do it. God will take care of us. He's promised to supply our needs. And he always has. But we need your prayers. Your prayers are so important to us. My wife would tell you this morning, and I think maybe I started that and didn't finish it, I don't remember. But if you would tell her, you would be talking to her, and she would be relating her health and whatever is going on, and you mentioned to her that you would be praying for her, her reply would be, that's what keeps me going. Can I add, that's what keeps us all going. Living the Christian life is not an easy thing to do. Serving the Lord is not easy sometimes, but yet he's called us to do it, and we can do it. And so your prayers are vital. Your prayers are vital as a community, as a congregation, one for another. And I'm sure that you guys depend on this side to pray for you. You depend on these folks to pray for you. Pastors, you guys depend on the folks to pray for you, and you guys depend on your pastors to pray for you. So that's a big circle, isn't it? And how true that is. But will you partner with us in what God's doing around the world through IPM? He's doing great things. It's not because of us. If it weren't for us, God would get the work done some other way, because he is sovereign. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We just have to get out of his way sometimes and let him do it. So partner with us, if you would, through our VIP program. If you see it, you can't read that arrow. It just simply says short-term missions in action. Pray, give, and do. Pray, give, and do. Give our time, give our talents, give whatever God called us to give, and then just do it. Just get up and do it. God is doing his part. Listen, the Bible tells us, does it not, that God's able to, as Ephesians tells us, he's able to save, he's able to keep us, he's able to do. God is able. Whatever God desires to do, folks, he can do. He is God. He is sovereign. He is on the throne. And whatever he desires for his pleasure, and the great thing to remember, I believe, and keep with us at all times is a simple promise from the scripture. And I think that it's this. You know, I am able to do only because God is able. He is the one who gives us the strength. He's the one who gives us the health. He's the one who gives us the desire. He's the one who gives us the get up and go. God is truly able to do above, exceeding abundantly above. If you stop and you think about that word exceeding for a minute, that word just simply means in large quantities or large abundance. He's able to do in that respect, exceeding in large quantity, such as our building that we talked about in many other ways. But then if you take that other word there, exceeding abundantly, that word abundantly is in large quantities and large abundance. The word exceeding means far beyond, or over and above. And that makes me think of an Old Testament verse that goes along with this, Jeremiah 33:3. You ever heard of that verse? Call unto me and I will answer thee. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But we have to call. We do our part, God will do his part. God is able to carry out anything without delay. God is able to perform. And if we just come down to the bottom, to the very end of it, folks, we simply know, don't we, that God is able. We can truly rely on him because he has given us that promise in his word. Pray for us, if you would. Pray for IPM as we continue to minister for the Lord. And if you have any questions, again, I'll be happy to answer them. And we'll just let the Lord do his part. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, thank you for the time this morning. Thank you for your love to us. Truly, we could sing that song over and over, how great thou art. You provide, you protect, you guide, you give wisdom. We are so privileged to be a part of your harvest field. We thank you, Father, for that privilege. God, I ask you that you would truly do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think this morning. Bless our time together. Thank you, Father, for these dear folks. Thank you for their just gracious receiving me last night and this morning, Lord. Just what a blessing they have been, an encouragement to my life. And Lord, thank you for Pastor Sarah and the family, and just for all that you've done and doing through them, Pastor Dustin. Lord, we just thank you that you are our God. Go with us, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.